Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mindy McFan.
And this is Double Take. Oh, now, Mindy.
Yes?
Let's get ahead of the curve here, if it's possible.
Well, always we would. I mean, of course we would be ahead of the curve.
We're recording just before Thanksgiving, but we're going to celebrate Christmas.
Yeehaw!
Well, you're a rebel.
Well, the radio already has, so why not us? And every store I've been in already has.
Is it really?
Oh, it's everywhere.
I haven't noticed. Oh, my
it's
God.
On. All I right. will not listen to that Christmas music before Thanksgiving. So this, I'm doing this for you, John.
So we're going to talk about Christmas movies.
Yes.
Now, you know, there are hundreds of Christmas movies, so we don't have any particular agenda for this, other than we're just going to go and we're going to toss around movies that we've seen. And in many cases, ones that we might recommend to our audience.
I think that's fair.
What better time to sit around those huge screens people have now in their homes?
Absolutely.
And see some of these beautiful Christmas movies.
Yep. Let's all get ready.
However, my favorite
yes.
is black and white.
Ah. Understandably. There's a lot of good black and white movies.
So, It's a Wonderful Life.
That's your favorite.
Yeah. Huh. That's
And what about that?
Well, you know, it is because it has so much humanity in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much like the character that Jimmy Stewart plays, who is filled with the a very talented guy. Small town, should he have stayed there? Should he have gone away? I mean, all the questions that run through the mind of somebody who is as gifted as he, and yet, in the same time, like us, uncertain about what good he has done,
mm-hmm.
where he lives. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the same questions. You've seen it.
And, sure.
And what do you think of it?
Sure. It's not my favorite.
Okay.
But I appreciate the whole idea of riding the rail between what do I have to do in life to survive and what am I morally bound to do?
Good one.
And
nicely said.
It's hard. I mean, for everybody. Everybody has to make choices about whether they run a red light when nobody's looking and all those kinds of things, you know? And circumstances put you in situations that you don't quite think you would have gone to one side
yes,
or the other.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's tempting.
And I think that in most cases, movies try to aim toward family in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so confirming your place in the family and in the town, which is really your family.
Right.
And the good, recognizing the good you have done and the good that you can do is an important revelation for them.
Well, and like all good black and white movies, the woman is the upholding the moral center because she gets to stay home and just do the right thing.
You're,
she didn't have to go out in the world and make those kind of moral choices yet.
All right, let me hear about your favorite.
Well, mine is a little different. It's a family favorite we watch usually every year, and it's called The Ref. And it is very, very funny.
Oh.
It's got, oh my gosh, now I'm going to go blank. What the heck's her name? She was in My Brilliant Career, which was one of my favorite movies.
What an odd choice.
Yes, it is.
You are really odd.
It's a small town in New England, and this guy is down on his luck, and so he robs this really rich guy. And then he gets trapped in the town. And he gets trapped in a house with the nuttiest family in the world who are all fighting with each other and acting crazy. And, I mean, in my family, we can just say slipper socks 7.5 so many times and laugh hysterically.
Mindy, you're a prize. This The Ref?
Yes, The Ref.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, you haven't?
I've heard of it, of
oh,
course.
Oh, you
but
must.
I know.
You
I,
must.
What a really odd... But you're an odd person, so that's a great choice. How about Love Actually? You know, I bet you the most people in the world have seen this thing.
I would hope so. It's just so much fun.
All right. What is fun about it?
I guess I love the four different stories going on is lovely.
Okay.
It's just touching. It's romantic. I mean, it's just so romantic.
It is.
Hugh Grant going door to door as the Prime Minister. Do you love that?
I mean,
I want to believe that.
I know. He is so charming, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That head of hair and that crooked smile. I mean, it's just great. And I was really surprised by that. I said, how can they make It's like Mariah Carey singing, maybe the most famous now Christmas song.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Yes.
I mean, White Christmas is always
that. Yeah, and it seems crazy that all that was able to come together. Yeah. Because if I could jump in a pool full of eels with Colin Firth, like a shot. Like a shot. But I love the multi-language. It's just very pleasant.
Yeah.
And even, I know some people balk at the couple who the best friend is in love with the wife, that they feel like he pressured her and stuff. I just, the way that camera looks at her, oh my gosh. I mean, how can that not melt your heart? And I want all the BS I can have at that time of year.
I was struck by your comment when we had our, you and I are on a church cinema connection with St. John's UCC and picking the film for this year. And I really liked your comment because I thought, well, this would be the film maybe that we would show this year. And we showed It's a Wonderful Life last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, John, everybody has seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were right. I'm thinking one of the reasons I'm proposing that is that everybody loves it.
Yes. It's on a loop.
Right. So we're not offering anything new
to
people. So I was really very happy for your check. Your check on that.
But right, it is a joy.
Give me another one.
The Bishop's Wife.
Oh, great choice.
Who doesn't want an angel in their life? Especially if he looks like Cary Grant.
Who wants a debonair angel? I mean, isn't this an oddball movie?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Denzel, sorry, you were great too, but Cary Grant got me first. It's just to have this I love that real edge to the angel being helping to save her, and she kind of is in love with him.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
She loves her husband, but he's not available. And this, this magical man shows up.
I think husband, who is the bishop, is just looks a little bit askance.
Yes.
At this handsome angel.
And he's being so kind to her, and he's paying attention to her, and he's listening to her, and all that. Until he finds the angel in himself to be good to his wife again.
You're right. So they're Episcopalians. Mm-hmm. We'll forgive them for that.
Yes.
But it is, and I don't know if it's black and white or not.
Yep.
It is?
Yep. Yes, it is.
And isn't, yes, that it is a movie I could recommend to anybody because they probably have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And where you have so much of a good Hollywood mix in that, so much that's verbally witty.
Right. And the pace.
Yes.
It's a very slow, not slow in a derogatory way. It is calm.
Yeah.
It is such a calm, gentle movie. It will soothe your soul just based on that.
Yes. And in fact, you're reminding me of why I love these old movies. This must be a 30s movie, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. Is the concentration on language.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
It's exactly what you're saying. They take their time.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear everything.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't misunderstand.
Yeah.
It's crisp.
Yeah.
And
we need some calm now.
Oh my gosh, we certainly do. All right. Now, Mindy, here's one that we are offering up at our church.
Okay.
Miracle on 34th Street. Did you ever see it?
I don't even know how many times. Couldn't even count that many. I mean, I've seen it so many times that my first memory of it is seeing it as a little girl and he's sitting in front of our TV set. And when they show his cane, I'm like, oh my gosh. What it reminds me of is my father refused to ever admit to me there wasn't a Santa Claus.
Yes.
Unequivocally.
Yes.
And when I was about, I don't know, 12 or 13, right in that real cynical age, He wouldn't tell me there was no Santa. And he goes, wait, listen. And I hear this ting, 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 like jingle bells.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the look on my face was this moment of, what if? And it was just him, his keys. He had his keys down next to him, shaking them.
Mindy, throw me an oddball one from your list.
An oddball one.
Not that you haven't already.
I don't know. I'm going to say The Apartment.
Just because, and how do you get that?
Because, I mean,
it is not
specific a Christmas movie in the sense, but it happens at Christmas. How's that? It's such a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous movie on every level imaginable in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think the core of all Christmas movies is wanting to believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
Is wanting to believe in, be it a fairy tale or a hope or a wish, but that time of year, it brings it out, the child in us, where you want to think maybe things will work out.
Well, you know, if I could step back 1 second to our previous discussion on Miracle on 34th Street, it was a really big deal for me growing up as to whether or not Santa Claus was real.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking the movie, thinking about that movie makes me think about how central that was, and maybe because it paralleled my Catholic church experience,
right,
and the importance of faith, that film was more than just because we have a magical Santa who is maybe the real Santa, and Edwin Quinn won the Oscar for that role. So 34th Street is a great movie for that.
Right.
And so now we're looking at one, The Apartment, where you're talking again about believing.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they believing? I thought, is this Jack Lemmon?
Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, all right.
Because she's basically having an affair with his boss, and the boss is a creep. And just the idea that this little guy in this office who is bullied into lending out his apartment to people, that the little people in the movie triumph. And isn't that what most of us want?
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's a warm feeling. And it's something that, you know, I think everybody hearkens to. And that starts with the belief in Santa or belief in whatever it is. That is a comfort, and it's harder to come by when you're older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that's a nice, it's a good sentiment for Christmas. I like encapsulating a lot of these movies in that notion. Now, here's one. There's a traditional White Christmas. Something,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Is there a couple of these? Where does the song come in? It doesn't come in White Christmas, does it?
What's the other Holiday Inn? Holiday Inn. I can't remember which one it's in.
I think it's Holiday Inn because you always think it must be in White Christmas,
right?
But it was already in Holiday Inn. How would you characterize these? They seem similar to me.
That was such an era of movies, you know, going up to the Catskills or wherever the heck they were, you know, that's such a time frame, a frozen piece of time where entertainers were, you know, with their suit, their trunks and all that kind of stuff. And you'd do circuits and all that kind of thing. So, and all the Fred Astaire movies and all those kind of movies are such an era of movies that are specific.
And great singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It is really Hollywood version of Christmas.
Yes, it
so
is.
So you can't go wrong, except we've seen them so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a couple of movies that interest me, being slightly different, that I really like. And two of them have to do with criminals.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the one we originally thought about, The Pocketful of Miracles, in which...
so sweet. No, but and those are like toy gangsters in that movie, though.
Yes, I know. And is it the same with We're No Angels?
Yes. I mean, somewhat, except the...
With Bogart.
Yeah. They're more, because they're just convicts. But they're sweethearted convicts.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think this was Bogey's last film with Frank Capra. We're No Angels.
Yeah.
And maybe not as... Capra has had a difficult time after the war.
Right.
In getting his films out there.
Right.
So, but this one is a cutie pie.
Oh,
one.
Absolutely. It's touching because they're like criminals, and they're complete criminals. I mean, they're convicts in striped outfits.
Well, haven't they they've bolted from prison, right?
Yep, and they're hiding out, and they get caught up in the familial life of where they're hiding, and they're just sweet.
Yes.
I mean, it's nice. I know it's pretty saccharine, but just the criminal with the heart of gold kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
They're just sweet, but they're still crooks.
And Glenn Ford in Pocketful of Miracles, you're saying he's more of a dandified?
Yes. I mean, it's the gangsters you all imagine from the movies with the hats and the trench coats and the white gloves. And Bette Davis is older in the movie, and she plays Apple Annie, which is this little street woman who sells apples. And this crook buys these apples from her as good luck.
Yes.
And she has a daughter that she's lied to all these years, Anne Margaret, about who she is. And so her daughter wants to visit her because she's had her daughter locked away at private schools. And so that she gets the gangster to fake her life as some kind of countess or rich woman. And it's very much a fairy tale kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, as I was thinking about it, it resonates today in a matter of equality and class structure.
Sure.
And the attempt to push Annie into being something that she isn't.
Yes,
and
yes.
And unfortunately, I think Bette Davis spends half the film being this imposter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as I recollect, it took a bit away from the crustiness that we had with Apple Annie.
Right, right, right.
And Glenn Ford was an unusual, but he was producing, so he had a choice of himself.
Well, and it's interesting because, he's a gangster and she's basically a street woman, but they're both outsiders. And how they kind of find their common ground there because they're both society's don't wants.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, Will Ferrell's coming out with one called Spirited. It'll be in the theaters soon. And he was in, and I thought, a probably pretty popular Elf.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. My favorite, when he starts screaming hysterically that Santa's there, Santa's here! That made me laugh so hard, so hard. And it's nice because you got the bad guy and the completely pure elf.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's just pure.
Yeah.
And it's so lovely.
It goes beyond naive.
Yes. Oh, way beyond. Way beyond.
Well, here's one that I don't know if you've ever seen, and most people have not seen it. Knocks me out. I almost want to put it at the top of my list.
Oh.
Okay.
Which one's that?
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. I have not seen it.
I'm familiar with it, but I have not seen it. Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Mindy.
He seems the perfect person to play that.
He's swearing a blue streak through this movie. He's just a degenerate who happens to take a job as a department store Santa.
Ah.
And he's just... In attending to these kids, he's just wickedly honest and abusive in some people's terms, but to me, just hilarious. I was so interested in it. I liked it so much, and I do love his performance. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect for him. I wanted to go back to see it to check how many two shots and one shots there were because of his language. And the kid is number 8 or 9.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
And I recollect that there weren't that when he was swearing, I don't think there were two shots. I think there were one shot.
Well, that's sweet. They were taking care of the babies.
I know.
I like that.
I know. And I think there was a sequel to that, but nothing like the original Bad Santa. So I love to shock people when they ask me my favorite. And I say, of course, it's Bad Santa.
I like humor at Christmas.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. I mean, I like Die Hard at Christmas, you know?
I know. And that was like one you were talking about, The Apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Not really about Christmas.
Right.
It happens to occur at that time.
Right. But it has the magic of Christmas.
Yeah, it did.
And so does Die Hard. I mean, look, are we really thinking, this one guy took them all on, took a fire hose and wrapped it around his waist, but it's all about belief. Or suspension of disbelief, I guess, which way you look at it.
How do you figure Home Alone as a Christmas movie? I mean, I realize it's set at that time and the house is decorated and all that, but...
Oh, my kids loved that movie.
Yeah.
My son booby-trapped the back stairs of our old house after he saw that. He just booby-trapped it out the wazoo. It's funny that a kid gets left behind, but the funnier thing is that he doesn't care.
Yes.
It reminds me of like all the Shirley Temple movies. She was always an orphan and 5 minutes into the movie. I love the fact, I love movies that like empower children. That they live way beyond their people's expectations of them.
Mindy, how long do you think it took him to take over that house once he saw that they were gone? And leaving him behind is so funny because every parent who has had multiple kids, and I had 6 children, always think it's possible. It is possible for you to leave somebody behind.
Oh, it's more than possible. I was left behind, and Harry, we're still apologizing to you. We did it twice.
Wow.
We left him at church.
Oh, no kidding.
Swear to God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we left him at church.
How did you feel after that?
You have to meet my son. There's a reason he does what he does. He hasn't sat still in his whole life, so I'm sure he wiggled off, and we just jammed people in the car, and... Yeah. I mean, it's not like we forgot them for a long time. They left me at the store. I was the fifth. And they unloaded the groceries and put them away before they realized I wasn't there. So
wow. Isn't that great?
It's a real thing.
See, a person less than you would have been affected her whole life by that. You find it amusing.
Yeah. Well, I think I was like that kid. I wasn't scared. I was wandering through the store looking at stuff. I figured somebody would come get me.
Oh, Mindy McFan, you were just, I didn't realize how perfect you were of a choice to be my co-host today, but it does, you put me into the Christmas spirit. You've even made me want to see maybe some of these films that we've talked about.
You gotta.
I have to, but I'm not gonna because there are so many new movies, as you and I know.
Well, that's true, too. Go to the theater.
Yeah, but do go to the theater.
Absolutely.
And a month or so, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.